Live from the Public Relations Department of the Royal Thai Government, this is Radio Thailand News.
Today is Wednesday, March 27th, 2024, and this is Radio Thailand's Midday News Hour. I'm Krachang with Thachit, making the national headlines this lunchtime. The Prime Minister's Office Minister spearheads a nationwide initiative encouraging Buddhists to engage in evening prayers every Monday throughout 2024. Meanwhile, the Acting Commissioner General of the Royal Thai Police inspects Immigration Office operations at Suvarnabhumi International Airport. Looking at the global scene, Israeli airstrikes killed dozens of Palestinians at both ends of Gaza and hitting the area around Al-Shifa Hospital in the north and Rafah in the south. And on the business agenda, the World Bank Vice President for East Asia and Pacific announces a partnership with the Thai government to accelerate a flood management project. We'll now take a look at those top headlines and many more in detail.
National News.
Brought to you by Bangkok Airways, Asia's boutique airline, now flies direct Bangkok to the Maldives four times a week.
And once again, welcome to the Midday News Hour, now live streaming from our Facebook page, Radio Thailand FM 88. First up in national news, Prime Minister's Office Minister Phuong Pet Chulaiyat has spearheaded the nationwide initiative encouraging Buddhists to engage in evening prayers every Monday throughout the auspicious year of 2024. The initiative serves as a tribute to His Majesty the King, aligning with the grand celebrations planned for his 72nd birthday anniversary on July 28th. The campaign commenced on March 25th with a ceremonial gathering at Wat Pak Nam Pa Si Chareun, led by the temple's assistant abbot and minister Phuong Pet herself. The event saw participants from various sectors, including scores of high-ranking officials and the general public, many clad in yellow shirts showing loyalty and respect to the monarchy. The religious campaign follows the Sangha Supreme Council decision on March 11th, endorsing the organization of chanting and mediation sessions to honor His Majesty's birthday. The directive extends to all temples within the kingdom and Thai temples abroad, with a special prayer to be included in the sessions, particularly on July 28th, His Majesty's birthday. The year 2024 is highlighted as a significant period for all Thais, marking a momentous occasion in the reign of His Majesty the King. The government, alongside the public and private sectors, has committed to organizing a series of celebratory events. Minister Phuong Pet said this worldwide event showcases a collective effort to celebrate and uphold Buddhist traditions while paying homage to the monarchy, inviting Buddhists nationwide to partake in this meaningful tradition. In other matters, Acting Commissioner General of the Royal Thai Police, or RTP, Police General Git Rat Phan Pet recently inspected operations at the Immigration Office of Suvarnabhumi International Airport. The inspection focused on issues during peak passenger periods, finding the process adjustments and system improvements had been made that facilitated faster accommodations for travelers entering the country during summer tourism season. Prime Minister Sein Tatawisin earlier directed relevant officials to prepare for the expected influx of tourists, especially in the fourth quarter. The Acting RTP Commissioner General reported that the time taken for passport checks for arrivals has been reduced from 45 seconds to just 30 seconds. This was achieved by streamlining certain procedures, such as eliminating the need to scan boarding passes, write flight numbers, and stamped documents. For departure, the implementation of automatic passport checking machines or automatic channels has halved the processing time from 40 seconds to just 20 seconds. Additionally, the Immigration Bureau has upgraded its biometric system along with the hardware to be more modern and efficient in order to effectively minimize system failures. Meanwhile, the Thai Ministry of Public Health has reported that Thai workers were among the casualties in a factory explosion in Taiwan. The tragedy unfolded at an aluminum rod manufacturing facility in Kaohsiung on March 23rd. Initial reports from the Ministry of Public Health indicate that six individuals sustained injuries, including two Thai nationals who succumbed to their injuries and one who remains in critical condition. Public Health Minister Dr. Sholonansi Gao disclosed that his ministry is collaborating with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to facilitate any required medical aid or arrangement for the repatriation of the injured to Thailand for further care. Additionally, mental health support teams from the public health offices in Mahasarakham and Chaiyaphum provinces have been mobilized to offer psychological assistance to families and relatives of the deceased. In response to the incident, Labor Minister Pat Ratchakit Prakan noted that officials have met with the injured workers to extend their support and have coordinated with relevant agencies to secure their entitled benefits. Furthermore, Pairod Chotika Satien, the permanent secretary for the Ministry of Labor, confirmed that the deceased and injured were members of the Overseas Employment Administration Division's fund. As such, they are eligible for compensation, including 15,000 baht for repatriation costs, 30,000 baht for disabilities due to injuries, and 40,000 baht for the bereaved families, plus up to 40,000 baht for funeral expenses abroad. Now, the Cybercrime Investigation Bureau, in partnership with the Ministry of Digital Economy and Society, has launched Cyber Chase, a mission focused on individuals linked to online gambling platforms, call center frauds, and mule bank accounts. At a media briefing, officials highlighted four instances of cybercrime, including a case involving the gambling site Auto.LendGame888, which has over 47,000 users and generates annual revenues exceeding 180 million baht. Now, this operation resulted in the apprehension of eight individuals and the confiscation of assets worth more than 30 million baht. Another phase of the cyber chase efforts exposed a scam orchestrated by individuals impersonating Department of Land officers. The scammers deceive victims into installing a malicious app and submitting personal details for identity verification, ultimately commandeering their phones to siphon funds from their accounts. The ruse inflicted financial losses above 4 million baht and led to the arrest of six connected people to mule bank accounts. The third case involved the arrest of individuals linked to a call center syndicate promoting fraudulent applications, including those acting as intermediaries in the procurement and resales of mule accounts to fraud rings operating across borders. The fourth case detailed the capture of individuals marketing modified Thai-manufactured firearms and ammunition over an online line group, culminating in evidence seizure and legal action. Now, the industry also highlighted that these criminal networks channel illicit funds through various mule accounts before converting the sums into cryptocurrency, and thus effort to dismantle the operations involve collaborations with cryptocurrency exchanges and the international community. And lastly, for our national segment, the Office of the Consumer Protection Board, or OCPB, recently dispatched officials to conduct undercover inspections at shops suspected of clandestinely selling e-cigarettes in Chonburi Province's capital district, following reports of such products being concealed at a residence for distribution. After securing a search warrant, police detained individuals linked to the operation and proceeded to a shop used for selling e-cigarettes and e-liquids across two premises. The raid resulted in the confiscation of 6,600 e-cigarettes and e-liquids valued collectively at over 1.8 million baht. The vendor was arrested and the seized items were transferred to local law enforcement for further proceedings. Minister attached to the Prime Minister's office, Puang Pet Chulain, emphasized the government's stringent measures against the illicit trade of e-cigarettes, highlighting their prevalent use among minors. She pointed out that such products are often sold online near schools or online, which exacerbates accessibility concerns for children and adolescents. The government has rallied various agencies, including the Cybercrime Investigation Bureau, the Ministry of Digital Economy and Society, the Ministry of Public Health, the Ministry of Interior, and the Bangkok Metropolitan Administration to crack down on e-cigarette sales both at brick-and-mortar locations online. Minister Phuong Pet also called on parents to vigilantly monitor their children to safeguard them against e-cigarette exposure, advising them to scrutinize their belongings and inform them of the detrimental effects of e-cigarettes on their health and development. The clandestine sales of e-cigarettes and e-liquids is illegal. Witnesses to such sales are encouraged to report incidents to the OCPB via the 1166 hotline. Once again, the number is 1166 hotline. The website, ocpb.go.th, or Damrong Tham centers located in each province. That wraps up the national headlines this midday. Next in Global News. Russia remands in custody a Kyrgyzstan-born man suspected of involvement in last Friday's mass shooting at a Moscow concert hall.
You're listening to Radio Thailand News.
Think of Samui's blue waves that harmonize with the morning sun. Take snapshots of Angkor Wat with a tantalizing blue sky backdrop in Siem Reap. Think of Drat's beaches with a blue Hawaii cocktail in hand. Bangkok Airways is ready to fly you to your chosen domestic or international destination. Let the color blue bring you ultimate happiness. Bangkok Airways Boutique Blue. Call 1771 or visit bangkokair.com. Bangkok Airways, Asia's boutique airline.
Fly to a fairy tale with EVA Air, serving 3 flights weekly to Amsterdam. See the storybook homes of Jordan, indulge in a sweet stroopwafel while standing in Dom Square, and then ride a bicycle by Amsterdam Central Station. The stone streets and storied canals of the capital of the Netherlands present magic around every corner. Experience it all with EVA Air, flying 3 times weekly, every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday from Bangkok to Amsterdam. Book now at EVAair.com. Take me there, EVA Air.
Get ready to immerse yourself in the vibrant celebrations of Songkran as Thailand sets the stage for the Maha Songkran World Water Festival 2024, happening from April 11th to 15th, right in the hearts of Bangkok. Prepare to be enchanted by over 20 magnificent parade floats, showcasing the beauty and uniqueness of Thai Songkran traditions. So mark your calendars and get ready to make a splash at the Maha Songkran World Water Festival.
Advertise with Radio Thailand. Call 092-654-9899.
Global News.
Brought to you by EVA Air. Sharing the world. Flying together.
And welcome back to our show. You're listening to the Midday News here on Radio Thailand. We broadcast live from FM 88 and online at nbt.prd.go.th. Let's take a look at the global issues this lunchtime. Israeli airstrikes have killed dozens of Palestinians at both ends of the Gaza Strip, hitting the area around Al-Shifa Hospital in the north and Rafah on the southern edge, where more than a million people have sought shelter. In the north, where intense fighting has raged for more than a week around Al-Shifa, members of the Hasira family said dozens had been killed in a strike that wiped out a family compound near Gaza's biggest hospital. Israeli forces stormed the area on March 18th. Israel says it has killed and arrested hundreds of Hamas fighters who were using the hospital as a base. Hamas and medical staff deny that fighters were present and say civilians have been rounded up. In the south, where more than half of Gaza's 2.3 million people are sheltering in Rafah against a border fence with Egypt, health officials said 18 people, including 8 children, were killed in a strike on a family home. Blankets and children's clothes were strewn amid the rubble on a Tuesday morning, where a relative picked through the debris to retrieve belongings. Outside, a pillar of reinforced concrete had crushed a burnt-out car. Family members wept over corpses laid out at a nearby hospital morgue. And this is really graphic. Israel says it plans to ground offensive into Rafah, where it believes most Hamas fighters are now sheltering. Its closest ally, the United States, opposes such an assault, arguing that it would cause too much harm to civilians who have sought refuge there. Also in the south, a siege by tanks around two other hospitals in Khan Yunis continued for the third day. Israel launched its assault on the Gaza Strip after Hamas fighters crossed the border on a rampage on October 7th, killing 1,200 people and capturing 253 hostages, according to Israeli tallies. Health officials in Hamas-run enclave said over 32,000 Palestinians have been confirmed killed and 74,694 injured in Israel's offensive, including 107 Palestinians killed in the past 24 hours. Thousands more people are feared dead and unrecovered among the ruins. In other parts of the world, Russia has remanded in custody a Kyrgyzstan-born man suspected of involvement in last Friday's mass shooting at a Moscow concert hall and sent investigators to Tajikistan to question the families of four men charged with carrying out the attack. Eight suspects have now been remanded in pretrial detention since gunmen sprayed concert-goers with bullets in the deadliest attack in Russia in two decades, days after President Vladimir Putin celebrated an election that handed him a fifth term. Islamic State has claimed responsibility and released footage from the attack. The United States and France say intelligence suggests the group was indeed behind the attack, in which 139 people were killed and 182 wounded. Putin said on Monday that Islamic militants had carried out the attack, but also suggested that Ukraine, which is at war with Russia, may have played a role. Ukraine has since denied any role. The militants have not identified any of the attackers. Russia has said the four suspected gunmen have confessed, but some show signs of injuries when they appear in court, raising concerns that they had been tortured. TASS news agency reported that Russia's Commissioner for Human Rights said the detention of suspects should be carried out in accordance with the law after videos were published showing the interrogation of the suspects. One had part of his ear cut off during questioning. The commissioner, Tatiana Moskalkova, was quoted by TASS as saying, "It is absolutely unacceptable to use torture on detainees or defendants." Russian authorities have said they are investigating. Now, police in the Indian capital detained dozens of opposition supporters on Tuesday as they attempted to march to Prime Minister Narendra Modi's residence to protest against last week's arrest of Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal. Kejriwal, a key opposition leader whose Aam Aadmi Party, or AAP, has governed the National Capital Territory for a decade, was arrested by the Financial Crime Fighting Agency on corruption charges relating to the city's liquor policy weeks before India begins voting in general elections on April 19th. He was remanded to the custody of the Enforcement Directorate until March 28th, with the lawyer for the agency arguing that he was the kingpin in the case and needed to be interrogated. Kejriwal's party, all of whose main leaders are now imprisoned in connection with the case, says he has been falsely arrested in a fabricated case. The federal government and Modi's Bharatiya Janata Party, or BJP, denied political interference. On Tuesday, Kejriwal supporters attempted to march to Modi's residence, but were stopped by police at a location where they gathered about 5 kilometers away. Television visuals show several protesters sitting on the ground and chanting slogans as police personnel tried to haul them into buses. Now, elsewhere in the city, police used water cannons to disperse BJP supporters trying to march to the Delhi Secretariat to demand Kejriwal's resignation and detain some of them. BJP President Virendra Sachdeva told news agency ANI that the chief minister of Delhi is corrupt and dishonest, adding that Kejriwal will have to resign, and that was the quote. AAP leaders said Kasrival would not resign and protests demanding his release would continue. On a Tuesday morning, the Delhi Metro Rail Corporation said on a messaging platform X, formerly Twitter, that multiple metro stations were closed until further notice due to security concerns. Delhi police issued a notice warning traffic would be affected in view of special law and order arrangement in the city. AAP is part of the India Bloc, an alliance of more than two dozen political parties formed last year to jointly challenge the BJP in the general elections. Further away, a container ship smashed into a four-lane bridge in the U.S. ports of Baltimore in darkness on Tuesday, causing it to collapse and sending cars and people plunging into the river below. Rescuers pulled out two survivors, one in a very serious condition, and were searching for more in the Patapsco River after huge spans of the 2.57 kilometer Francis Scott Key Bridge crumpled into the water. Baltimore officials said at least seven vehicles plunged into the water but could not give an exact figure. Kevin Cartwright, a spokesperson for Baltimore City Fire Department, earlier said as many as 20 people could be in the river, along with numerous vehicles and possibly a tractor-trailer or a vehicle as large as a tractor-trailer that went into the river. Tuesday's disaster may be the worst U.S. bridge collapse since 2007, when the I-35W bridge in Minneapolis collapsed into the Mississippi River, killing 13. A live video posted on YouTube showed the ship plowing into the bridge in darkness. The headlights of vehicles could be seen on the bridge as it crashed into the water and the ship caught fire. Now, Maryland Governor Wes Moore declared a state emergency to quickly deploy federal resources to deal with the emergency. The Federal Bureau of Investigation in Baltimore said on social media platform X, formerly Twitter, that its personnel were on scene. At a news conference, Baltimore Police Commissioner Richard Worley said there was no indication of terrorism. Now, Baltimore is the busiest U.S. port for car shipments, handling more than 750,000 vehicles in 2022, according to data from the Maryland Ports Administration. Shipping and insurance sources said it was not immediately clear if any other vessels had been damaged or whether operations had halted to and from the port. The 2.57-kilometer-long Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, collapsed into the water overnight after a cargo ship collided with it on March 26th once again. And lastly, for the global segment, a suicide bomber rammed a vehicle into a convoy of Chinese engineers working on a dam project in northwest Pakistan on Tuesday, killing six people in a third major attack on Chinese interests in the South Asian country in a week. The first two attacks hit an airbase and a strategic port in the southwest province of Balochistan, where China is investing billions in infrastructure projects. Muhammad Ali Gandapur, the regional police chief, said the engineers were on their way from Islamabad to their camps at the dam construction site in Dasu in the Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province. Gandapur said, quote unquote, five Chinese nationals and their Pakistani driver were killed in the attack. Dasu is the site of a major dam and the area has been attacked in the past. A blast on a bus killed 13 people, including nine Chinese nationals, in 2021. Also, Chinese engineers have been working on a number of projects in Pakistan, with Beijing investing over $65 billion in infrastructure projects as part of the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, or CPEC, under its wider Belt and Road Initiative. No one claimed responsibility for Tuesday's attack, nor was there a claim for the 2021 attack. Pakistan is home to twin insurgencies, one by Islamists and the other ethnic militants seeking secession. And while Chinese interests are primarily targeted by the ethnic militants seeking to push Beijing out of mineral-rich Balochistan, they generally operate in the country's south and southwest, far from the site of Tuesday's attack. Islamists mostly operate in the country's northwest in the area where the convoy was attacked. And those were our global reports. Next up in business. Alibaba Group says it is offering to buy the 36% of Cainiao that it does not already own for up to $3.75 billion, abandoning plans for an IPO.
You're listening to Radio Thailand News.
Whether to Asia, Europe, or the USA from Bangkok, flying with EVA Air means flying an elevated journey of comfort. Passengers flying Royal Laurel Class, EVA Infinity, Mileage Lands, Diamond, Gold, or Silver members, and Star Alliance Gold Card members are welcomed to access the EVA Air Bangkok Airport Lounge. Certified 5-star by Skytrax in 2023 for its striking design, ample facilities, and excellent service, the lounge is located in Zone F on the third floor of Suvarnabhumi Airport and is open daily from 6 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. In the air, Infinity Mileage Lands members who booked through the EVA website or mobile app receive 50 megabytes of free in-flight Wi-Fi. Have a wonderful journey from start to arrival. EVA Air, sharing the world, flying together.
Advertise with Radio Thailand. Call 092-654-9899.
Business News.
Now, in today's business reports, the World Bank Vice President for East Asia and Pacific, Manuela V. Faro, has announced a partnership with the Thai government to accelerate a flood management project in the Chao Phraya River Basin. The collaboration aims to shorten the project's completion time from 20 years to 6 to 7 years, addressing Thailand's vulnerability to natural disasters and their economic impact. During an interview with Thai PBS, Faro cautioned against the potential inflationary impact of Thailand's digital wallet scheme, suggesting that the government reconsider its allocation of resources. Instead, she recommended investments in education, engineering, and flood control to foster long-term economic growth and resilience. During recent discussions with Prime Minister Seh Tat Wee Sin, Faro emphasized the importance of skilled labor and education to leverage opportunities in the global supply chain reset. She also highlighted the potential for Thailand to advance as a greener economy through renewable energy and energy transition initiatives. The World Bank remains optimistic about Thailand's economic future, focusing on enhancing infrastructure and managing floods. Faro further cited the significance of Thailand's strategic location in ASEAN in attracting investment and suggested improvement in digital connectivity in order to boost the nation's competitive edge. Now, leaving Thailand, Alibaba Group has said it is offering to buy the 36% of Cainiao that it does not already own for up to $3.75 billion, abandoning plans for an initial public offering or IPO of the logistics business in Hong Kong. In the Chinese e-commerce giant's latest reversal of its restructuring plan, Alibaba, which holds a stake of around 64% in Cainiao, said it was offering to acquire the remaining stock. U.S.-listed shares in Alibaba rose 0.7% in pre-market trading following the announcement. Alibaba Group Chairman Joe Tsai, who later said on a call with analysts that regulatory issues play no part in the decision to pull Cainiao's IPO, said in a recent earnings call that all of Alibaba's planned IPOs, including Cainiao's, were subject to market conditions. He said on Tuesday call that, quote-unquote, the overall environment for doing capital market transactions in order to unlock value for shareholders is just not there in this part of the world. The Hong Kong IPO market saw a slowdown in activity in 2023, with 73 company listings raising 46.3 billion Hong Kong dollars, or 5.92 billion US dollars, down 56% from 2022. Now, the company had reportedly faced a mismatch in valuation expectations with potential investors. So I said on Tuesday that its offer to minority shareholders valued Cainiao at $10.3 billion. And in a statement, Alibaba said it is offering minority shareholders of Cainiao an opportunity to sell at the outstanding shares for $0.62 per share, and it aims to complete the buyback by June or July. Alibaba has had a tumultuous year since announcing the biggest shakeup in its 25-year history by splitting into six units. It has installed a new CEO, announced and then abandoned listings its cloud division, and refocused on its core businesses. And those core businesses, e-commerce and cloud, are now led by new group CEO Eddie Wu. And although Alibaba's domestic e-commerce platforms, Tmall and Taobao, are still China's largest, they have lost market share in recent years to competitors, including PDD Holdings. Meanwhile, Visa and MasterCard have reached an estimated $30 billion settlements to limit credit and debit card fees for merchants, with some savings likely to be passed on to consumers through lower prices. The antitrust settlement announced on Tuesday is one of the largest in U.S. history, and if it receives court approval, would resolve most claims in nationwide litigation that began in 2005. And some critics believe it may not go far enough, saying the savings would be temporary and fees would remain high. Merchants have long accused Visa and MasterCard of charging inflated swipe fees or interchange fees when shoppers use credit or debit cards and barring them through anti-steering rules from directing customers towards cheaper means of payment. Swipe fees typically include small fixed fees plus a percentage of total sale amounts and average about 1.5% to 3.5% per transaction. Under the settlement, Visa and MasterCard would reduce swipe rates by at least 4 basis points or 0.04 percentage point for 3 years and ensure an average rate that this 7 basis point below the current average for 5 years. And both cards also agreed to cap rates for 5 years and remove anti-steering provisions. Merchant will have more discretion to offer discounts or impose surcharges on cards with higher interchange fees. Many already warn customers that at checkout, they will pay more using cards instead of cash. The fee rollbacks and caps alone are worth $29.79 billion. According to court papers, and Visa estimated that small businesses comprise more than 90% of the settling merchants. Visa and MasterCard denied wrongdoing in agreeing to settle. Now, in separate statements, Visa's North American President Kim Lawrence said the accord addressed true pain points identified by small businesses, while MasterCard General Counsel Rob Beard said it gave businesses substantial certainty. Now back to Thailand, several airlines have been shifting towards using sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF, to power their aircraft, helping to vitalize the SAF production business. Most recently, energy conglomerate Bangja Corporation Public Company Limited, or BCP, has signed an agreement with the Department of Health aimed at encouraging food businesses to refrain from using frying oil and instead sell it to Bangja to be made into SAF. Thamarat Prayun Suk, Senior Executive Vice President for BCP's Refinery Business Group, and Dr. Acharaniti Apinyasugun, Director General of the Department of Health, signed a Memorandum of Cooperation for the Do Not Refry program. The initiative seeks to encourage food establishments to avoid reusing frying oil, which would promote consumers' health and environmental friendliness. Establishments that participate in the program will receive a certificate and will be able to sell used oil to BSGF Company Limited, a subsidiary firm within Bangja Group, at a price of between 20 and 23 baht per liter. The oil will be used to make SAF. Thamarat also disclosed the progress on construction at the site for the low-carbon SAF production plants within the Bangja refinery compound in Bangkok's Prakhanong area. He said the foundations have all been laid, and the current construction phase involves the assembly of various parts shipped from abroad, which he likened to playing with toy building blocks. This is getting really personal. The project is slated for completion in March 2025 and will result in the largest SAF production plant in Asia that has a capacity of 1 million liters per day. And according to Tamarat, who is also committee chairman of BSGF Company Limited, used cooked oil will be further sourced from neighboring countries such as Myanmar, Vietnam, Laos, PDR, and Cambodia. He added that SAF production results in precursor materials for bioplastics, as well as in cooking gas, with the Bangjak Group considering distributing said cooking gas in canisters so waste from production may be reduced to zero, further boosting the environmental friendliness of the production progress. And those were our business news stories this afternoon. Next, we have more of Radio Thailand News coming up.
This is Radio Thailand News.
Like the FM 88 Radio Thailand English Service and Radio Thailand World Service Facebook pages. Publicly like our reward posts. Share hashtag RTH World Service, hashtag FM88, and hashtag Radio Thailand. And comment on why you love listening to FM 88. Or follow at Radio Thailand World on TikTok. Repost our pinned post and write a comment on why you love the Radio Thailand World TikTok. Chosen users win a prize. Join in while they last.
Respecting and uplifting its own local identities and cultural heritage, as well as the traditions of its regional neighbors, Thailand is helping to reinforce the ASEAN identity. Understanding that the identity of ASEAN results from all of its member nations combined, Thailand celebrates both the common traits that bind the members of ASEAN and the unique practices that distinguish each.
From extreme weather to PM2.5 and even international conflicts, the Thai government is always assessing risk to the safety of its citizens and making needed preparations through national security plans, safety policies, and the creation of mechanisms like the Joint Information Center. Thailand's government stays a step ahead of danger, so everyone in the nation may rest easy.
Welcome to Uniquely Thailand, a program that brings you a great history, a wonderful culture, and one-of-a-kind performances from our beautiful nation. From the majestic five-star hotels in the capital to simple mountainous resorts in the north, from the stunning plains and hills of the Golden Triangle to the white sand beaches in the south, Thailand has so much to offer that one visit is never enough. Since 2015, Thailand has put tremendous efforts into overhauling its entire fishing industry in order to prevent, deter, and eliminate illegal, unreported, and unregulated or IUU fishing in Thailand, so as to achieve the sustainability of marine resources. The challenge of overfishing has been comprehensively tackled through a number of effective measures, which include the control of fishing gear with high catch capacity, the prohibition of destructive methods of fishing, the seasonal closure of the Gulf of Thailand to allow marine animals to lay eggs, and through limiting the issuance of the fishing licenses based on maximum sustainable yields. After just a few years, these efforts have borne results in the Thai seas. The fishing industry is now reaping benefits from the revival of marine resource diversity and has a better understanding of the impact of the work done thus far. The decision to lift the IUU Yellow Card of Thailand follows the constructive cooperation
of Thai authorities with the European Commission, resulting in a comprehensive and structural reform of their fisheries legal and policy systems in order to curb illegal fishing. Measures taken include a comprehensive review of the fisheries legal framework in line with the international law of the sea, including a deterrent sanction schemes, full reform of the management of the fleet policy with sound systems of registration and control of the fishing vessels, strengthening of the monitoring, control and surveillance tools, including the full coverage with Vessels Monitoring System, or VMS, of the industrial fleets, and a robust system of inspections at the ports. Full implementation of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization Port States Measures Agreements on foreign flag vessels that land their catches in Thai ports to supply the processing industry. Comprehensive traceability system covering the whole supply chain and all modes of transportation in line with international standards. Improve administrative procedures as well as training and political supports, leading to proper enforcement of legislation. Significant reinforcement of the financial and human resources for the fight against IUU fishing. The EU IUU regulation does not specifically address working conditions on board fishing vessels, neither human trafficking. Nonetheless, improvements in the fisheries control and enforcement system on IUU fishing may have a positive impact on the control of labor conditions in the fisheries sector. Different European Commission services as well as the European External Action Service are working together to tackle the issue of human trafficking and forced labor and share best practices with the Thai authorities. As a result, Thailand was the first country in Asia that ratified the ILO Forced Labor Protocol in June 2018. The drastic changes implemented by Thai authorities following the yellow card sanction imposed by the EU in 2015 have had a very visible impact on the regulation of the country's fishing industry in the 4 years since the decision. Since the imposition of sanctions in 2015, the Thai government has introduced vehicle monitoring systems, or VMS, for all vessels above 30 gross tonnage in size. On top of this, the government imposed IMO, or International Maritime Organization, licensing numbers on all commercial vessels greater than 24 meters in length, as well as those larger than 12 meters that fish beyond the national jurisdiction. Plans also exist to extend this all the way down to the artisanal level in order to cover the remaining 80% of Thai vessels. In addition, the Ministry of Labor and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs have cooperated with neighboring countries such as Myanmar, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, to legally employ more migrant workers through bilateral agreements. The Department of Fisheries, together with the EU, co-organized the ASEAN meeting on combating IUU fishing in partnership with the EU in April 2019 in Bangkok, where almost 70 representatives from the ASEAN member states, international fisheries organizations, and representatives from the EU participated in. As the ASEAN Chair of 2019, Thailand announced a theme, Advancing Partnership for Sustainability, to focus actions on the future, on connectivity, and sustainability in all dimensions. Thailand has proposed a concept on ASEAN cooperation on sustainable fisheries, consisting of two priorities. Firstly, the formulation of ASEAN General Fisheries Policy, which is undergoing a feasibility study. And secondly, the establishment of an ASEAN IUU task force to support effective exchange of information, to create a network for better communication between the law enforcement authorities and governmental units responsible for combating IUU fishing. The proposal is not only intended to benefit current generations, but also future generations. The task force will contribute to the exchange of information and data among flag states and coastal states. The information and data exchange will mainly be laws and regulations, and enforcement of domestic and international laws involving port state measures and management measures. The task force will monitor, assess situations, including addressing crucial issues, enhancing capacity, and laying down plans for effective implementation in the future. Moreover, the task force will develop tools, systems, and technologies for investigation, and analyze data collected to provide evidence of IUU phishing. The implementation of the task force will improve competency and potential in controlling, monitoring, and surveillance of IUU phishing operation for agencies of the AMS and for the strengthening of combating IUU phishing in the region. Thailand's Director General of the Department of Fisheries, as the leader of the Thai representatives, expressed hope that the move will provide a better understanding of the urgent need to establish an ASEAN IUU task force. Thailand is one of the world's largest producers and exporters of processed aquatic animal products. It's also determined to develop a credible traceability system for aquatic animals, which are brought to Thai ports or processed in Thailand, to ensure that no aquatic animals derived from the IUU fishing will enter into the entire production and processing lines in Thailand. At present, Thailand is in the process of developing the Thai flag catch certification system for tracing catches aboard Thai vessels, and also the port state measures links and processing statement system, or PPS, for catches on non-Thai vessels. The key concept is to create databases for systematically tracking the origin of aquatic animals, as well as to set up the automatic alerting for anomalous inputs being found at any stage, from the landing of catch to processing. This is to make sure that the catch has not been engaged in IUU fishing. Thailand will continue to improve the effectiveness of the IT system for traceability, including the development of an automatic alert function and the development of the mobile application to link databases of transshipment from the vessel to the port until reaching the plants, to reduce the official's burden in examining documents. Additionally, measures to control the deliveries of aquatic animals via cargo containers, trucks, and air will be formulated with a view to closing opportunities for smuggling of illegal catch into the production line. The development of the traceability systems, which are now fully functional, demonstrates the remarkable progress of Thailand's fisheries reform. This will be continued as Thailand is moving towards becoming an IUU-free country and an exemplary model for the region on how to tackle IUU fishing. Uniquely Thailand will return next time with more great stories, unforgettable cultural events, and memorable activities that can only be found in our beloved kingdom, the Land of Smiles. Thank you for joining us today. Sawadee krap.
Radio Thailand News.
Thailand Magazine.
Dubai, Qatar, Sukhothai. What do these places have in common? Man-made islands. They are an astounding feat of human engineering, but you don't need a plane ticket to visit one. The Tung Thale Luang Island lies in the very heart of Sukhothai, and appropriately so. Tung Thale Luang is, in fact, a heart-shaped island within a heart-shaped reservoir. His Majesty the late King Phumipon Adulyadej commissioned the island and its reservoir as part of an irrigation project. It was built with sediment from 843 villages of the provinces, symbolizing the steadfast unity of the Sukhothai people. Enshrined on the island is a Buddha statue, the Praputaratanasiri Sukhothai. The Buddha statue is estimated to be 700 years old, crafted at the height of the Sukhothai era. It was discovered only 12 years ago at the bottom of the Yom River. It may not be the Palm Islands of Dubai, but Tung Thale Luang has a lot of heart. For more information, visit worldwideweb.tourismthailand.com.
Innovating to best tackle missions in the Deep South, the Southern Border Provinces Administrative Center, or SBPAC, utilizes a hackathon approach to plot the best possible plan for its operations in 2024. The collaboration of experts is organized by the SBPAC's the Strategy Management Division annually, with the aim to review and enhance the organization's goals, key performance indicators, and operational efficiency. All of this has the larger aspiration of bringing peace, progress, and stability to the southern border provinces of Thailand. A hackathon is a coming together of experts to plot and program towards a common goal. It was initially used in the technology world to rapidly advance software. The SBPAC hackathon for 2024 brought together 100 officials responsible for planning projects and activities within SBPAC. It was emphasized by administrative heads that collaborative planning would help the body work cohesively as well as with effectiveness. All participants were reminded to seek shared advancement within the organization and aim for improvement of the quality of life of citizens. Those who took part conceptualized innovations and tools to support SBPAC operations. Some 14 ideas were put forth to address matters affecting the South and the objectives of the administrative center. Planners utilized reports from the Strategy Management Division for the development of southern border provinces, outlining the framework, focus areas, and essential projects for fiscal year 2024. Key initiatives encompassed addressing poverty based on Thai People Map and analytics platform database information, promoting the southern border provinces as hubs for animal husbandry, seafood production, fruit cultivation, and renewable energy, and elevating the region's economic potential through the Halal Economic Corridor. Other initiatives presented during the event included tackling malnutrition among children, supporting religious teachings by providing midday meals for students in Islamic education centers, conducting creative activities to enhance reading skills, and advancing the model city of Betong in Yala Province. Additionally, efforts to increase awareness and understanding both locally and internationally were emphasized. The gathering featured presentations from representatives of the Budget Bureau and the National Economic and Social Development Council, providing valuable insights to SBPAC officials. The knowledge exchange aimed to contribute to the comprehensive development of detailed project plans and activities within the draft operational plan for the fiscal year 2024.
You're listening to Radio Thailand News.
The ASEAN region is witnessing the rise of the digital economy. Known for its thriving economy, the ASEAN region has seen the emergence of some of the fastest-growing digital industries globally in recent years. This trend has been accelerated by the COVID-19 pandemic, which has resulted in an increase of 60 million additional digital customers since it started. With a high rate of mobile device penetration, a stable middle-class consumer base, and a comparatively youthful and productive populace, the region's digital economy is expected to grow at a rate twice that of its GDP, with a gross merchandise value, or GMV, of up to $1 trillion by 2030. Although it is clear how the digital economy is affecting the region's growth, a new discourse connects digitalization and sustainability. Evidence suggests that ASEAN can take advantage of the digital economy's rise for both growth and a sustainable future. The advantages of the digital economy for growth, which are primarily driven by regional businesses and industries, have also influenced regional policymakers to realize a seamless digital trade ecosystem. ASEAN will be able to realize its vision of regional economic integration and attract investments by utilizing the potential of digitalization. The region's nations have a lot of opportunity to advance human development thanks to the digital economy. One example of how education has been revolutionized locally and made more affordable and accessible is through the rise of edutech platforms. For those who cannot afford the high costs of traditional higher education, online learning platforms can give them access to a wealth of educational resources. Through opening doors for business expansion and generating employment opportunities, the digital economy can improve livelihoods, productivity, and incomes. The emergence of the digital economy also presents certain risks, such as the loss of jobs in routine and low-skill industries. Moreover, the digitalization of business operations in ASEAN can help facilitate sustainable supply chains and assist industries in monitoring business risks and suppliers efficiently. Thus, at the 15th Conference of the ASEAN Ministers Responsible for Information, AMRI, which was held in March of 2021, the framework for developing digital readiness among ASEAN citizens was adopted in order to advance the digital readiness of ASEAN member states. The comprehensive, non-binding, aspirational framework places the sector's ongoing efforts in digital communication, information access, and literacy within the broader goal of fostering digital readiness among ASEAN citizens. Because of this, the framework has identified the three interrelated elements that are crucial to digital readiness. 1. Digital access. 2. Digital literacy. And 3. Digital participation. Now is the time for ASEAN to jointly develop its vision for the digital economy while achieving its objectives for sustainability and economic integration. ASEAN has a unique chance to seize the rise of the digital economy to secure its long-term sustainability and economic integration, as well as to unleash its economic growth.
In support of visitors to Thailand taking part in the country's thriving meetings, incentives, conventions and exhibitions, or MICE industry, the nation's government is providing fast-track visas to event attendees. Easier entry will make it so that more people can be a part of Thailand's global-level expos and festivals, pushing them to even greater heights, fulfilling Thailand's potential as a regional venue.
Acknowledging the need for serious action against air pollution from particulate matter, efforts are ongoing by the government of Thailand. Targeting all sources of PM2.5, the government is tackling the problem in a holistic and systemic fashion, so everyone can breathe fresh, clean air. Doing away with PM2.5 is a key national policy.
And that's why we wrap up the Media News Hour for Wednesday, March 27th of 2024. Our next news hour is at 7 p.m. tonight, but you can catch Radio Thailand's early news for updates throughout the day. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm Kachang with Tachim Swadik.